It's very surreal to me to be here on this platform and not have my dear friend, Pastor Dosik, here. And I don't know how to express it any other way. We were on the mountaintops together, in the valleys together, chewed each other out when we got bad attitudes, played golf together, and he was truly my friend, and I deeply miss him because we were sounding boards for each other. He vented to me and I vented to him, and we had some very interesting conversations on the golf course. But you know, one thing about it, God gives you friends, and I gained and learned so much from your pastor. And I believe he gained some things from me. But he was a man of incredible integrity. He was a man that loved God. It's almost indescribable. He was one of God's grateful servants because he realized the pit that God brought him out of. And if Pastor Peter Dosik said something to you, you could, as they would say, take it to the bank. And I knew at any given time, if I needed his help, he was there. I remember when my father passed away, he was there, stood by me, and we just had a wonderful relationship, and we tormented each other, picked on each other, but I was still a better golfer than him. And but I deeply miss him, and I know that you do. And I know that your church, this is a preamble, but I know that your church is in a recovering time. You don't lose a man of God that pastored and did all that he did for this church and this community and all that he did for the kingdom of God. You just don't say, okay, well, God bless you, you're in heaven now. It has impact. And everything is all right and everything's going to be all right. But I know that a lot of you are still dealing with that loss. And I am too. And, you know, my wife was very concerned about me coming out here. So she, first thing she said to me when I called, I said, well, how did you do? I said, well, I felt I did okay. Well, in other words, I dealt with it, but yet when I stand here and I look down there and he's not there, it's hard. But I try to stay focused in what I'm here to do, because what I'm really here to do is speak to you as a spiritual father. And I have been preaching at your church since 1985. So what's the math on that? That's 15 to 2,000 plus 24. Was that 39 years? Is that right, math? 24 plus 15 is 39. I have a weird way of processing information. 39 years I have been preaching at this church every year other than pandemic. And so I've probably preached at least 50 meetings like this in different ways. So I feel like I am as qualified, or maybe no one could be technically as qualified as I am, to speak to you from the position that I'm speaking to you from. Because I do care about this family, I care about this church, and I've watched you move through many different seasons. And I've shared this before. What I admired about your pastor so much. I operate in the gifts that God put in me. And that gift, the word of knowledge, the prophetic, and many of you I know have been blessed by that. But I remember years back prophesying to him and talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. And he didn't look at me and say, well, that's going to be impossible. No, he took that word and he ran with it. And he began to fast and he began to pray. And he had a supernatural visitation from the Lord. And from that day forward, a ministry of healing and miracles that then was pivotal to what was happening on the international field. The thing that drove me crazy about him was no matter how much he did for God, no matter how many souls got saved, no matter how many bodies got healed, he still looked at it like, I really haven't done much of anything for the kingdom. And I'd get mad at him. I said, Pete, God didn't call you single-handed to save the whole world. Leave some of it for the rest of us. But the passion he had to see the sick healed, the passion that he had to see souls saved, was because he knew the pit that God had pulled him out of. And so many of you experienced the power and the touch of God through the years. Many of you, as hands are lifted up, have been with me in every time I preached here for the last 39 years. Well, thank God, I'm still here to speak to you, but I do know one thing. The anointing that he carried will always have fingerprints on this ministry from now till Jesus comes. And don't forget the great, great investment that him and Pastor Phyllis have deposited in this church, and the great gift that they have given you by so positively depositing in to Pastors Randy and Nicole. That's the power of continuity. So that's my preamble, because I need to get on to the business tonight of finishing what God gave me to speak to your life. Everybody okay? I love you. I thank God for you. And you just got to understand, in a different way, I get where you're at. And don't feel bad about sometimes feeling bad. But don't stop coming to church and being a part of what God is doing today. Because maybe it's a little hard for you. It's hard for me. But, you know, I've had people that would lose a loved one and they wouldn't come back to church. Hell, it's just too hard for me to go back to church because my wife isn't with me anymore. Don't let anything stop you from being a part of what God is doing within this church in the now. Because what is gone has been good, but what is coming is going to be great. Okay? There's a whole new vintage. There's a whole new generation. There's a whole new group of people that are going to be coming through the doors that never were impacted by Pastor Dosik in the natural, but they will always be impacted by the establishing of the DNA of this house. And for that, you should be thankful. To think what God, and I've said this for years, to think what God has done from Bodkins, Ohio. People in Ohio don't know where Bodkins is. But from Bodkins, Ohio, from a cornfield off I-75, millions of lives have been touched and transformed. You're sitting in a miracle. This building is a miracle. The impact this church has made is miraculous. The impact on radio and television and social media and the crusades and the nations of the world that have been touched, it's a miracle. And you should thank God every day. You are connected to something miraculous. That means you're going to have miracles in your life. Is everybody still happy? All right, let's stand to our feet for the reading of the word. Praise God. I'm going to take it from where I started last night. If you weren't here last night, I'm going to be merciful and I'm going to catch you up. In the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 9th verse, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Turn the page. Let's go into the first chapter of Joshua, the 2nd verse. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise." Everybody say arise. "Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Now move to the 5th verse. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was," everybody say, "as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now these are three distinct verses. Just hang in here with me for just one moment. So he says, the spirit of wisdom, there has been a divine transference of anointing from Moses to Joshua. Now, Joshua is leading the nation of Israel, and the word declares that the people were responding and being submitted, being cooperative, receiving his leadership, and they were doing what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, I talked a lot last night about continuity. I talked a lot last night about how the Word of God does not have an expiration. And so many times God is prophesying the destiny of a ministry, but He will raise up unique or different people to bring certain aspects of it into fulfillment. So Moses did not take the children of Israel across the river. Joshua did. But the children of Israel did as the Lord had commanded Moses, but they submitted to new leadership in Joshua. So then in the first chapter of Joshua, what begins to happen? I'm going to let you sit down in about 60 seconds, so don't get all nervous. So then God speaks and He says, "Now Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead." Nobody was closer to Moses than Joshua. But yet Joshua is traumatized by the loss. The nation is traumatized by the loss, as this church has been impacted by the loss of your pastor Dosik. But yet He said, now is not the time to stop or get traumatized or get paralyzed emotionally. Arise. Arise and cross over into the enlargement and expansion that I have prophesied to you of. Then in the fifth verse, He goes on and says, and this was the first key to these seven keys of enlargement. The first key is this: as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So if you're going to possess the next season of your destiny, you have to stay connected to the God and to the presence of God that was upon Moses. This is why when we celebrate Pentecost, understand something. God told them that if you don't stay connected to my presence, the church cannot become what it's destined to be. Don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And then He said, you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we're going to expand. We're moving from Jerusalem to Judea, but then we're going to Samaria, and then we're going to the uttermost parts of the earth. But don't you even think about leaving Jerusalem until you get the power of the Holy Ghost, because expansion cannot come if you are not connected to the power and the presence of God. Amen. Father, anoint every ear to hear, every mind to perceive it, every heart to believe as I move forward with this revelated word. And God, we declare it to be done in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going into the 13th chapter of Joshua, and I'm preaching tonight about keys to enlargement, or keys to expansion, or keys to increase, whatever synonym of the word you want to use. But in the 13th chapter, Joshua, the first verse. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Well, that's encouraging. Thank you, Lord. I'm old and I'm stricken in years. And now I get a word from heaven. Joshua, you're old and you're stricken in years. Now, but that's not the important part of this scripture. The real important part, He said, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And there remaineth very much land to be possessed. What's He saying to him? Enlargement is what you're in the middle of. Now, when you study this out, you will realize, now I'm going to backtrack a little. In the 11th chapter of Joshua, the 23rd verse. The team is doing real good getting these scriptures up. Joshua, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse says this. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. See this reference back? According to all that the Lord had already said to Moses. Sometimes you just got to move with what God's already said. Some of you are always looking for a new word. Sometimes you just got to learn how to possess what God's already said. And according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto the children of Israel, according to their divisions and by their tribe, and the land rested from war. Look at that line. And the land rested from war. I'm going to say it again. And the land rested from war. Well, then when you go into the 12th chapter, you realize that God gives an accounting of the 31 distinct kings and armies and locations that they went to battle with and conquered. 31 different kings, 31 different locations, and 31 different armies. And they conquered every one of them. And then, basically, it's revealing the land rested from war. Then, I hope I'm not being confusing, but then you jump to the 13th chapter, and the Lord says, now Joshua, you're old, and you're stricken in years, but there's very much more land to be possessed. I'm here to say to you today that this church has a 40 plus year history, and some of you are not as young as you were when you first started coming. I know I'm not. But the truth is, there is still much land to be possessed. There is still much to be done. There is still nations that are going to be impacted. There are still regions of this area of the United States that are going to be impacted. And what I want to say to you in the spirit is simply this: there is much more land to be possessed. But you have to understand, the first key is you have to stay connected to the power and the presence of God. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. Moses walked to the mountaintop with God. Moses experienced the literal Shekinah glory of God. Moses' face shone with the glory of God. Moses could hit a rock with a stick and bring out water. Moses saw the miraculous in the land of Egypt. Moses saw the parting of the Red Sea. When Moses said something, God backed up everything that Moses said. But he says to Joshua, I'm with you like I was with Moses. I'm with you. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. So now I have called and promoted Moses to be eternally rewarded in heaven, but I'm not leaving you, and I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. If you're going to see personal enlargement, if you're going to see your church enlarge, if you're going to see your ministry enlarge, if you're going to see your business enlarge, if you're going to see your family more blessed, you've got to understand, you have got to stay under the hand of a supernatural God. And so many times we're so quick to try to figure out how to fix everything, but we're trying to fix it in the natural. And really, some solutions are not going to come from any natural formula. They're going to come through divine intervention from the hand of God. Can you say amen? So when you think about this, number one, to enlarge, to increase, to expand, you have to stay connected to the presence of God. Number two, you have to get anointed thinking. You have to think anointed. The Bible said in the 23rd Psalm, the 5th verse, it says, thou anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. There's a difference between being carnal minded and being spiritually minded. The difference is the result. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But it's very, very easy. We're much more comfortable thinking carnally because it makes more sense to us. But when you think spiritually, you will look at a cornfield and you will see a great church. You will look in the mirror and see a man that looked and saw all the negatives and all the obstacles, but yet there was something inside of him because God began to anoint Pastor Dosik's head with oil, and it caused his cup to run over, and it caused him to believe that God could use him in the nations of the world and use him to build a great church in this region of Ohio. What came about that? Enlargement came to this ministry because of anointed thinking. Now breathe back at me. I got 12 amens, but I'd like about 100 or 200 of them. Now stay with me on this. Anointed thinking activates increase. Anointed thinking activates enlargement. Thou anoints my head with oil, and my cup or my being goes into an overflow. You're not going to be living on spiritually empty. You're going to be operating in an overflow. Now let's go to the 13th chapter of Numbers, the 33rd verse. Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 33rd verse. It said this simply, and we were in our own sight. And so there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Here was a nation that was on the verge of enlargement. Here's a nation that's on the verge of expansion. Here's a nation that's on the verge of gaining everything that God had prophetically promised them. And they got into carnal-minded thinking. They started evaluating everything on the basis of how tall they were versus how big and strong the adversary was. Here was a nation that had seen the Red Sea part, but yet when they saw the giants, they got into carnal mindedness. They didn't have anointed thinking. And so what happened? Instead of possessing the increase, instead of possessing the enlargement, they let their lost identity rob them of what God had for them. If you want to lose everything that God's prophesying over you, just start thinking about everything through the carnal mind. That's why he said to be carnally minded is death. They lost their identity. Instead of saying, hey, we're the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, we are the nation that God just supernaturally delivered us out of Egypt and destroyed the mightiest army on the planet with one wave of his hand. We are the people that God has fed with manna. We are the people that God has covered us with a cloud and warmed us with a holy fire. We are the people that God has given us our own unique culture, our own unique identity. We are the most special people on the face of the earth. And if God can bring us this far, he'll take us all the way. But no, they gave it up. They gave their heritage up. They gave their inheritance up. They gave their destiny up. Why? Because you can't enlarge without your thinking being anointed. And that causes you to think in ways that your natural being is not capable of. We are robbed over and over again because we base our future on historical perception. Say, what do you mean by that? You look backwards and you see how far you got. Or you look backwards and you see how far your family got. You look backwards and you see your losses, your defeats, your discouragements. But if you're going to get to where God's destined you to go, you have to get prophetic perspective. And when you get prophetic perspective, you are basing your future on what God has said and not just what you've seen. That's good stuff. So go to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. I'm trying to move quickly because I got a lot of territory to cover. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. Can you imagine? God just looking at you and said, what do you want? What do you want? Ask. And I'll give it to you. Ask what I can give you. And so Solomon gets this challenge from God. Ask what I shall give you. Then you move to the 3rd chapter, the 9th through the 15th verses. I want to read this. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, what was he asking for? He was asking for anointed thinking. Because you have asked this thing and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. So what's happening now? Just keep it up there for just a second. What's happening now? He's become the recipient of anointed thinking. Now, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like thee all the days of thy life. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk. Now we're going back to the continuity. As thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. What are we getting into? Solomon dared to ask God for anointed thinking. And because he asked for anointed thinking, because he asked for wisdom, because he asked for the mind of God in essence, God took the limits off of him. How many times are we always praying, oh God, I need more money, or God, do this, or God, do that. Why don't we just ask for the mind of Christ? God is brilliant. God has more ideas than you probably have years to get them done. God is a God of absolute. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And when that begins to happen, what does he activate? He activates increase. He activates expansion. Anointed thinking will bring you into a place that your enemies will not be able to stand before you. What I'm saying to you, if you want to see enlargement in your life, you have to stay connected to the power and the presence of God. If you want to see enlargement in your life, you have to have anointed thinking. I've already touched on them, but the third point is, if you want to see enlargement, you have to arise. You have to get up out of the low place. You've got to get up out of the discouraged place. And when it said in Joshua, the first chapter and the second verse, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, arise. What has to happen? Somewhere in the midst of all the battles, somewhere in the midst of all the losses, somewhere in the middle of all the trials, you got to get up and you've got to move forward. I said this last night, loss will connect to grief. And loss is not necessarily the loss of a person or a life. Loss can be a divorce. Loss can be the loss of a job. Loss can be a financial setback that causes a home to be repossessed. Loss can be many different things. But one of the results of loss is grief. And many times a result of grief is an emotional traumatization or an emotional paralyzation. But God said to Moses, all right, I took Moses home. I've removed him from earth. He's not there to be the head guy anymore. Get up. And I'm saying to all of you tonight, you've all suffered losses. You've all suffered setbacks. You've all suffered things that have not gone the way you would like them to go. But if you're going to see increase and you're going to see enlargement, you have to understand something. You got to get up. This is not a time for laying down. This is not a time for curling up in the fetal position. How many times did we hear the Lord say, rise, take up thy bed and walk? And many times what that bed represented was a condition of paralyzation. God says to all of us at different junctures, rise, take up your bed and walk. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't look and say, God doesn't love me anymore because I had a financial trauma. Don't say, I'm giving up because God didn't do this and didn't do that. Just get up. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God is for you, no power can stand against you. Only believe the best days are not behind you. The best days are ahead of you. Don't look at back and say, oh, how are we going to make it? No, you're going to make it. You'd have never got this far if God wasn't with you. And if God was with your Pastor Dosing, God is going to be with Phyllis today. God is going to be with Pastor Randy and Nicole. God is going to be with Only Believe Ministries. What's going to happen? This whole church is going to rise up. You're going to put on the armor, put on the helmet, draw the prophetic sword of the Spirit and say, this is not a time for us to stop. This is the time for us to arise. This is the time for us to move forward. This is the time for us to expand and possess everything God says is ours. Somebody give God a shout. Stay with me. Joshua, the first chapter, and the 7th and the 8th verse. Joshua chapter 1, 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let's read that last line together. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, you're going to prosper. But what was the condition? Obey the word. Now, there's one thing about this church that I do know. This is a word church. This is not a church that's just based on prayer lines and laying hands on people. Nothing wrong with prayer lines, nothing with laying hands on people. I'll be doing some of that tonight in a few minutes. But this church has not been built on that. This church has been built upon the foundation of rightly dividing the word of God. And your Pastor Dosik taught you some things. He taught you to believe what the word said and to hang your life upon the truth of the scripture. Go to the 8th verse. And the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So what's he saying? Now again, you've got to obey the word. Why? For then, because you've obeyed the word, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So if you want expansion, if you want enlargement, if you want increase, number one, you've got to stay connected to the presence of God. Number two, you've got to have anointed thinking. Number three, you've got to get up. You can't let anything permanently knock you down. You've got to rise up. And number four, you've got to obey the word. And when you're obeying the word, the Lord said, wherever you go, I'm going to cause it to prosper. I am going to cause the floodgates of heaven to open up upon your life, because you are going to obey the word and you're going to do what the word of God says to do. I told this account before, but my father preached the gospel for 55 years before the Lord took him home. But I want you to catch me on this. My dad preached during the Depression. I kind of brought up some things last night. We preached during the Depression, and he got saved, really, basically, at the onset of the Depression. And the Lord, he was standing in a soup line with holes in his shoes and an empty stomach. The Lord said, if you get out of this soup line and go where you go to pray, I will show you how to prosper. And so my dad took his Bible and his blanket, went out into the woods where he went to pray, and he began to open the word, and the Lord took him to the 3rd chapter of Malachi, where the word of the Lord said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, with your tithe and your offering, and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there is not room enough to contain. We are in the South, and we are in the Depression. And the Lord said, if you obey my word, I will cause you to prosper. And my father took God at his word. He just began to trust God. And God began to bring him up and out of poverty and begin to bring blessing into his life. Now stay with me in this. So years go by, and my father preaches. He evangelized. He pastored churches. He built a church in the state of Florida, and he built a church in Atlanta, and he built a church in Houston, Texas, and he ultimately built another church in San Francisco, California, and he built the church that I have succeeded him in 54 years ago in Denver. And God, through the journey, always supplied his needs and always blessed him and always honored him for being faithful in his giving. But we had a moment in time. And in that moment in time, my dad had met some people that were Christian businessmen. And they basically talked him in to investing in this company. And he became a major stockholder in this company. And it was flourishing and it was prospering and his money was invested. But he was kind of an all-in kind of guy. And he took all of his and mom's retirement monies that he had accumulated through the years and invested in this particular business and bought stock in this company. These guys weren't as Christian as he thought they were. And you say, well, he should have had more discerning of spirits. Just stay and let me tell the story. And so he invested all of this money, and then they begin to do unethical things with the resources of the company, and ultimately the company went bankrupt. And when you go bankrupt and have stock in a company, your stock becomes worthless. So now everything that he had invested over about 40 years of savings was gone. So we're sitting at the table. I'm in the eighth or ninth grade. And Dad is telling us, I just got news that the company that we have invested in has gone bankrupt, and our stock, which was a large sum of money, is worthless. And so in my brilliance, I looked at him and I said, well, what are we going to do now? And he said, well, and he pulls out his checkbook. And he said, well, the first thing I'm going to do, because we had an income, said, the first thing I'm going to do is write out my tithe check. I never said this before, and I never said it afterwards, but I looked at my dad. I said, I think you're crazy. Well, my dad was nearly 6'5" and about 240 pounds. And it's a miracle I'm alive today. And he looked at me with his checkbook in his hand. He said, because I paid my tithe all these years, I had all that money to lose. It's not God's fault that I didn't discern the type of people I was working with, and I trusted them when I shouldn't have trusted them. That's not God's fault. But I will say that it was God that blessed me with all this to lose. And if you think I'm going to disobey the word of God now, I got news for you. The only way we're coming out of this is to obey the word of the Lord. Stay with me. It would have been real easy for him to look up to heaven and say, oh God, I have been so faithful. Oh God, I trusted your word. Oh God, I preached the gospel for all these years. Oh God, I have been your humble servant. How could you let this happen? No, he just got his checkbook out and said, well, it's time to write out my tithe check, and I'm going to obey the word like I have all of these years. I will tell you something about this story. All of a sudden, God began to do a work, and I watched God restore every dime the devil stole from us in under 5 years. So God gave it back to us, supernaturally put it back into his hands. And God did in 5 years what took my dad 40 years. And when my dad died, he wasn't broke. When my mother died, she wasn't broke. Are you following what I'm saying? But what activated the increase? What activated the breakthrough? It was the obedience to the word of God. So sometimes when it's hard for you to do what the word says to do, just understand, when you obey the word, enlargement will come. When you obey the word, increase will come. When you obey the word, something supernatural will come. It won't always be easy to obey, but if you obey anyway, you will watch God prosper you whithersoever thou goest. Does anybody hear what I'm saying tonight? Don't get mad at God because you make bad decisions. Don't get mad at God because you maybe trusted somebody you shouldn't have trusted. Understand one thing. If no matter what, you will believe and trust in what the word of the Lord says, you will see God prosper you whithersoever you go. When you do what God says to do, God becomes bound by his word to prosper you. He becomes bound by his word to increase you. He becomes bound by his word to open up the floodgates and pour out blessing. There is it room enough to contain some. Somebody needs to shout yes. Fifth key is being planted. Go to the 92nd Psalm. The 92nd Psalm. Could I ask you to put this up in the New King James instead of the King James? These people are technologically brilliant, and they did it. The 92nd Psalm, and that I need you to go to the 12th through the 15th verse. Let's see how brilliant they are. Look at that. I mean, we're dealing with geniuses here. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall do what? Shall flourish. Everybody say flourish. In the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So what's happening? You stay planted in the house of God, you will flourish. You may get older, but you'll flourish in old age. But the condition is those that are planted in the house of the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to keep flourishing. You're going to keep enlarging. You're going to keep seeing new territories, new opportunities come into your life. I want to say something. Somewhere along the line in our history, they started Social Security. And the number of age that attached itself to Social Security was approximately 65 years. Now, I know a lot of things have changed. 62, now you don't have to take it out to your certain ages. But let's just go back. Somewhere along the line, retirement got concluded to be when you hit 65 and you can start drawing Social Security, it's almost like everybody thinks, well, here I am, and now I got to curl up, and I've got to back up, and I got to cut back, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Stay with me. Lord said, you're going to flourish. If you'll stay planted, you're going to flourish. You'll flourish in old age. God's talking to Joshua. You're old and stricken in years, but there's a lot of land to be possessed. I want to say to some of you that are my age or older, or maybe a little bit younger, but not that much younger. I want to say something to you. God's not done with you. God wants to bless you now more than you have ever been blessed before. God wants to open up the floodgates on you in this season of your life, just like he wanted to open up upon you when you graduated maybe from high school or college or in your early marital years or whatever. But what you have to understand, staying planted in the house of God is crucial for enlargement and expansion. You can't get disconnected from the anointing that God put you under. You can't get disconnected from the house that God planted you in. Everybody still with me? Okay, now, I know we all remember 9/11. It was a tragic day in our nation. But spiritually speaking, 9/11 happens and people run to the house of God. I was in Brazil. I was preaching crusades in Brazil when 9/11 happened, and my phone rang, and they said, Pastor, turn on the television, and I turn on the TV, and I see the World Trade Centers collapsing and all the horrible things that were associated with that day, and people jumping out of skyscrapers, and hundreds and thousands of people dying, and our nation was under a terrorist attack, and President Bush rising up, vowing to us that they're going to rue the day that they touched our nation, and the Pentagon being struck down, and all of these things. But people ran to the house of God. When I landed from Brazil, my flight was the first flight out of South America after airspace opened. I get to Miami, and the team with me, we're praying, should we get on another airplane? And I saw so many bomb sniffing dogs that I thought, this is probably the safest flight I've ever gotten on to get back to Denver. I get on the plane, you wouldn't believe. You know, normally you have these nice ladies that are waiting on you and bringing your food. I mean, I've never seen so many buff guys in the cabin, and they were all carrying, and it's like, you want your lunch? Well, yeah. Just kind of drop it on the tray. Those guys weren't stewards. They were there. If anybody would have moved funny, they'd have shot them in a second. I get off the plane, I go into church, and our building was packed to overflow in capacity. People were seeking the face of God because of this unprecedented tragedy in our nation. But then a few years ago, not that long ago, but back in 2020, we have what we've classified as the pandemic. And what the pandemic did, the enemy learned something from 9/11. The last time I did that, I drove everybody into church. This time we're going to attack, and we're going to create a scenario to keep them out of church. And you know, a lot of people have never got back to the house of God. They're more comfortable sitting in their fuzzy slippers in their robe, watching with a cup of coffee in their hand. Oh, I just love the virtual service. I hear so many people now, Pastor, I watch you every week. I say, I want to see yourself in the house of God. Okay, just let me vent a little bit. Because if you're planted in a ministry, you can't make an impact in that ministry sitting at home. Oh, you can write out a check, you can give an offering, and please do, if you're watching online, just send a check and denote it, God bless Tim Bagwell. That's fine. I'm not going to turn down anything to build the kingdom. But what I want to say to you, you can't make a consistent contribution to impacting a community from your couch watching online. You got to get involved. You've got to get planted. And you know what God will do with it? He will honor it. And when you get older, you're going to flourish. While you're middle-aged, you're going to flourish. If you got kids at home, you're going to flourish. Why? Because God honors being planted. They tried their best to shut down public worship, and other states were hit harder. I happen to be in the most conservative county in all of Colorado, which is one of the most liberal states in the United States. God help us. But our county is very conservative, so our doors were able to reopen quicker. But I had pastor friends on the West Coast. All types of churches were not able to resume normal function. The enemy knows that when you're planted, you will flourish. Let me explain something to you. My wife and I, when we go on vacation, we like to find ocean. Everybody say ocean. I like to find a beach. I like to find a sunset on the ocean. And so when I'm in one of those moments of being on the beach near the ocean and the sun setting, I get out my iPhone and I start taking pictures of the sunset. Then my wife gets out her iPhone. We got so many doggone sunset pictures because it's so magnificent. I don't know what it is about sunset at the ocean, but it's just unbelievable. But you want to know something? I look at those pictures, and it's not comparable to being there live and in person. You just stand and almost cry on the beach looking at it. It's so beautiful. And I want to tell you something else. You can't get a tan from a picture of the sun. I can't hold up my iPhone with the sun and get a tan any more than you can get one from a light bulb. So if you want a tan, you're gonna have to get out there live and in person. If you want to really experience a sunset, don't watch it on your television screen. Don't look at it on a picture on your iPhone. You just go out to go to the ocean and have a moment with God when that sun is setting or the sun is rising. There's something about being in the house of God that is different from watching. Thank God for the 12 disciples. No, you don't understand, because planting means that you're a part of what's happening within the house. This is a great church. This is a church that has a worldwide vision. This is a church that has a supernatural anointing. So when you're in this church, you're in the presence of God. When you're in this church, you can get your thinking under a fresh anointing. When you're in this church, it'll make you rise up. When you're in under the teaching that you get in this church, it'll cause you to hunger to obey the word of God. And when you're in this church, God will honor your faithfulness and being planted, and you will activate, increase, and expand. Somebody say amen. Number 6, 7 keys. I'm on the home stretch. I'm like Seabiscuit, Secretariat. Giving. Now, I knew you were going to get to that. Well, you should. Giving is an enlargement activator. Third chapter of Malachi. I have already quoted it. Talked about the impact it made in my father's life. Third chapter of Malachi, 10th verse, please. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, or put me to the test, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Enlargement, expansion, overflow. Enlargement, expansion, overflow. If you will be a giver, I will unlock the floodgates. I will give you more than enough. You can't see expansion to your business if there is not more than enough. This church cannot see expansion and enlargement if there's not more than enough. Your family cannot have the type of increases in expansion to help your children go to college or whatever it might be if there's not more than enough. And what does God say? If you're a tither and if you're a giver, I will unlock the floodgates and give you what you need for enlargement in your life. I'm not getting as many amens on this as I got on anointed thinking. But the key is simply this. Then he also says in this same statement that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when you're a giver and God starts bringing enlargement, he's taking authority over the devourer. All right, I'm not going to dwell there very long. I'll be back for the offering in a minute. Seventh point, and I'm done. Repentance. Repentance is an expansion, an enlargement, an overflow activator. See, why would that be? Go to Joel, the second chapter, and the 15th verse. Joel, the second chapter, and the 15th verse. These guys are incredible. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous or zealous for his land, and pity or have compassion for his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. Now, historically speaking, what had happened because of rebellion, because they had turned their back to the word, the Lord let judgment come against them. And there was a natural attack, which you will see, that affected their crops and all of these things. But also there was an attack from the northern army, which was the Assyrian army. And will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Let's go. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat. What are we seeing? We're seeing enlargement. We're seeing expansion. We're seeing overflow. And the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the palmer worm, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Let's stop for just a moment. So what's happening? Repentance has happened. Israel has big time upset God, and God has allowed certain judgments to come upon them. And the judgment that we're dealing with here in one context is an economic judgment. And so what had happened? Agricultural society. So agricultural judgments would affect the economy of the nation. The wheat fields are devastated. The olive vines and the grapevines are devastated. But what happened? They repented. The Lord demanded repentance, and they responded to the Lord, and they repented. And when they repented, God said something to them. I'm going to restore the years. Just look back at what's all the negativity that's happened, but I'm going to restore the years. Why? Because you have repented. So what's got to happen? If you're going to see enlargement, if you're going to see increase, if you're going to see expansion, if you're going to possess more territory, if you're going to do more for God, you better stay in the presence of God. You better understand some that being in the presence of God activates enlargement and increase. Anointed thinking activates enlargement and increase. Then rising up when you feel like laying down and giving up is going to activate enlargement and increase. Obeying the word of God is going to do it. Stay with me. So what starts happening? Now we're here. Giving will activate increase. You will come to a place that ultimately when you repent and when you cry out to God, Lord, I've been self-serving. Lord, I've not obeyed your word the way that I should. Obedience to the word will activate increase. But what starts happening? God, I recognize I've sinned and I've come short of your glory. Forgive me of my sin, oh God. Forgive me of what I have done. What starts happening? God starts saying, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to restore the years. I'm going to restore everything that sin and rebellion and wrath and disobedience has caused. I am going to cause supernatural overflow and increase, and you're going to have more than you've ever had in your life. If this church will stay as a church that is humble before God, and when you come through the doors of the church, whether anybody says anything to you or not, I don't think repentance should be something in a believer's life that has to be activated because the preacher says, all right, if you need forgiveness, then come to the front of it. No, I think when you come into the presence of God, the conviction of God will come upon you. And whether it's anger, whether it's wrath, rebellion, disobedience, whatever it is, you humble yourself before God. And God will look at you and say, you know what? I'm going to cause the oil and the wine and the wheat. I'm going to cause your investments. I'm going to cause what you own. I'm going to cause your business. I'm going to cause your position in the company. I'm going to cause all of it to go into overflow, expansion, and increase. Because I don't want you living with just enough or less than enough. You're old, but there's much more land to be possessed. See, some of you have so much, but you've never cried out to God, how do I develop what I have? I've got this much money in the bank, but how do I develop that and turn 1,000 into 10,000? How do I take 10,000 and turn it into 100,000? I'm not talking about some get-rich-quick scheme. I'm just talking about what happened. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and he got the mind of God. He got anointed thinking. God will guide you to do the right thing with whatever it is he has put you in charge of. He can cause your company to go from $1 million a year to $2 million a year. He can cause you in your position to have such favor that bonuses and raises are commonplace. He can cause you to buy a property. So I don't know what it is, but I just feel I should buy that property. And within a matter of days or weeks, you turn around and you resell it and you make a huge profit on it because you had anointed thinking. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? This is the kind of anointing that I believe is getting ready to settle down on this church. This is the kind of anointing that I believe that God is going to put in this house. One of the things about Pastor Randy, that Pastor Randy's a unique individual, and we're not going to go there too much. But not because he went to an Ivy League college, not because he had all the natural things released unto him, but because he learned how to pray and he learned how to trust God. there's been an entrepreneurial anointing on him. And he's bought and sold properties. He's figured out how to do certain things in the business community, many different unique things. And I've never seen Randy, probably I don't know everything, but I haven't seen him operate in a situation, oh, I blew it here and I blew it there and I blew this and I lost this and we're going to lose our home. I've just always seen him progressively prospering and increasing. Now, did he get that because he went to Harvard? No, he went that because he got that because he went to God in prayer. And you know what? That's an anointing. And you know what's going to happen in the church? That anointing is going to start getting on young businessmen in this church. And God's going to start bringing young leaders into the church. And that anointing is going to get on them. And they're going to start thinking differently. Instead of thinking, I can't do this. Instead of thinking, all I'm ever going to have is debt. All I'm ever going to have is an old rundown car. All I'm ever going to do is rent a house. No, there's going to be that kind of anointing that's going to start transferring. And you know what? You're going to see a younger generation raised up in this church that'll have more than the younger generations of previous years. But that's an anointing that God has put on Pastor Randy. And I want you to hear me on this. Because God said to me before I came here, you tell this church they are coming into a fresh season of enlargement and expansion. And you know what's going to start happening? It's going to start getting more defined. It's going to start getting more articulate. It's going to start getting more clarity to it. And the impact that you're going to see in the international, it's not going to decrease because Pastor Dosik's gone to heaven. It's going to increase because you're going to build upon the foundation that's been laid. Now, somebody better say amen. You're going to build on that great foundation. You're going to build on that foundation of him stepping out and, excuse me, hardly knowing what to do other than I know God told me to go to this nation. But learning and growing. And now that has been sown into Pastor Randy, sown into Pastor Nicole, sown into different leaders in this church. So what's going to start happening? Instead of things decreasing, they're going to begin to increase. The great vision that you've had for this region and this community, it had been easy to give up. But yet he felt, we got to impact this way. We got to touch this type of people. We've got to reach into these communities. But now you've been there, you've done it, but you build off that knowledge. You build off those accomplishments. And like I said last night, all the technology that we operate with our phone in our hand, your phone has more computer potential than computers used to have 25 years ago. It's all in your hand. Why? Because they build off that knowledge. Equipment that you work with is better today than it was 20 years ago because they learned how to refine. Well, this is what's going to happen here. You're going to build off the knowledge of yesterday and do what you've been doing better than you've ever done it before. Wine vats are going to overflow. The oil is going to overflow. The fields are going to have more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And every attack of the enemy that has tried to restrain you, God is going to shift it. God's going to change it. And the restoration of years is coming. You're going to stay in the presence and enlarge. You're going to get anointed thinking and enlarge. You're going to rise up and enlarge. You're going to obey the word and enlarge. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to repent and enlarge. You're going to give and enlarge. All the things that I brought out to you, you're going to put into action. And there's not going to be a one of you that are going to be less than what you were. You're getting ready to be more than you've ever been in your life. And if you believe it, give God a shout of victory tonight. Being planted in an anointed house, so let me say it boldly, is a guarantee that no matter what age you are, you're going to flourish. Because that anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes. That anointing will heal your body. That anointing will bring peace that surpasses understanding, that'll guard your heart and will guard your mind. I've come to you as a father in the faith. I've come to you as the most qualified outside voice that has stayed with the history of this church for 39 years. I want to say something to you from my heart. The best is yet to come. And I'm just not saying that to be cliche. You know why it's going to come? Because Pastor Phyllis and Pastor Peter transferred anointing. So when Joshua rose up, what was on Moses was in him. And the children of Israel were submitted and obedient. And then what happened? The children of Israel did what God had commanded Moses, because the thus saith the Lord was articulate before they ever got to the Jordan. The thus saith the Lord over this house has not changed, and there is much land to be possessed. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. Amen. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. No, no, no. I said somebody give God a praise. God, we love you tonight. Just slip your hands up toward heaven all over the house. God, we love you tonight. We submit our lives to you tonight. We come into a place of faith and a place of agreement tonight. And God, we believe you that mountains are going to be moved and miracles are going to manifest. And God, we believe that there's breakthroughs that are coming into every heart and every life. And God, I declare in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against any man or woman in this church will prosper. And I declare breakthroughs are coming. I declare new businesses are getting ready to start. I declare new ministries. I see new ministries starting to explode within the house. I don't understand this. This church has always had such a diversity of different territories they minister. But God just spoke to me. He said, new ministries are getting ready to begin. New ministries are getting ready to start. New things are getting ready to happen. New impact is getting ready to be made. You need to hear me tonight. This place is going to be powerful, anointed. There's going to be moments, Randy, moments, Nicole, that the anointing's going to come on you so strong that you won't even recognize yourself. You'll be saying, my God, what's hit me? What's happened? And it'd be like you'll shake under the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, when I laid hands on both of you last night, I told Pastor Gayla, my wife, I said, my God, the power of God hit them, and they just shook under the power of the Holy Ghost. And she started weeping and crying, said, this is what I was praying for, that when you prayed, that God would create an impartation. What I'm trying to say to you, to both of you again, you're going to stand and you're not going to be who you were. You're going to be who God has prophesied that you are. What did you say tonight, Nicole? 29 years after God prophesied over Randy, he stood in foreign soil, because there's no expiration date. But I'm telling you, who you were is not who you are. You're getting ready to step into that next place that God has prepared for you. Phyllis, who you were is not who you are. And I'm calling you out of retirement. No, I don't think anybody else has the right or the authority. But I'm telling you something. God has a fresh anointing for you in this season. And the enemy tried to kill you more than once over the last few years. And he could not do it because he wants to use you in this season. Now, I'm kind of expanding upon some things I said last night. But it's going to be interesting, because that entrepreneurial anointing on you, Randy, is going to be transferred into other young men your age and younger. Nicole, things that God's anointed you to do behind the scenes, you're going to impart that into the staff and into the team, and they're going to start being more articulate. They're going to start being more detailed. They're going to start dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, and you're not going to look at them and say, use your brain. No, you're going to look at them, and you're going to see creativity. You're going to see determination, and you're also going to see a love for the house of God like you have had. And Pastor Phyllis, God's always anointed you with a loving and a caring and a merciful heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to bring people that are broken. I'm going to bring people that are depressed. I'm going to bring women to you that have been abused, that have been hurt. And the Lord said, you're not going to operate from a psychology degree. You're going to operate from the mind of Christ. And the Lord's going to speak through you. And breakthroughs are going to come. Healing is going to come. You're going to sit with women that have had abortions. And the guilt is so strong on them. But the burden is going to break off of them. You're going to sit with women that have been physically and sexually abused. But the Lord is going to speak through you. And the healing of broken hearts is going to occur. And the Lord said, the enemy tried to paralyze you, but he's not been able to do it. Now, my daughter, arise. 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 And all that I've deposited in you over these years shall begin to flow like a river. Somebody give God a shout of victory. Somebody give God a shout of victory. I want you to hear me tonight in the Holy Ghost. There's going to be a radical stirring and a radical shaking that's going to start coming into the house, that you're going to feel it when you walk through the doors. Some of you have got so used to just sitting there and listening. The Lord said, I'm going to shake you up. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to shake you. I'm going to stir you. Come here, mother. Come here. The power of the Holy Ghost. Just leave him there, because he just needs to watch you get shook up. But see, you've been faithful. You've heard the voice of God. You've been interceding and praying during this transition time. The Lord told me to tell you, I gave you a vision and I showed you some things that I was going to do. And the Lord said, you shall live and you shall see a supernatural stirring within the house like the house has not experienced in many days. And the Lord said, I've heard your cry. I've felt the power of your intercession. Session and it's broken down strongholds, and there's a new anointing coming upon you. God said, tell her pain is leaving her body. Tell her fatigue is leaving her body. Tell her that it's a new day. Here, it's a new day. It's a new day. Pain free by the power of God. Healed by the power of God. Strengthened by the power of God. Fresh oil, holy fire, and new wine is on you. Somebody give God a shout of victory. Stay with me. Stay with me. Come here, son. Randy, come up here and help me. I looked at you when I was talking about Randy, and God said, you go to him, because there's going to come an entrepreneurial anointing on him. And you're going to be able to see some things accomplished that you never thought God could do with you. You have some big dreams, but they almost scare you. Yeah, because you look at yourself and you say, how can God do that with me? You know what I love about remembering Pastor Dosick? Is thinking about him in a dirt floor garage with a few folded chairs, and something inside of him believed that he could build a great church. Did he have any evidence? No. Was he a great teacher at that time? No. But there was something on the inside of him that said, I can do something great for God. I'm here to tell you, as God's servant, you're going to do some great things for God. I'm here to tell you that there's coming a day real soon that you'll tithe more than you're earning right now. You're going to see breakthroughs and miracles because the anointing is coming on you. But Randy, I want you to put your hands on him. And I declare this anointing with Randy, that he's walked in, that it's not because he went to a business school, it's not because he went to Harvard, it's not because he gained it all in the natural, it's because the Lord clothed him in it. And I declare that anointing that is on him is going to come on you, and the big dreams are not going to look crazy or silly, but the big dreams, I declare, shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus, somebody give God a shout. Somebody give God a shout. Stay with me, stay with me. Come here, sir. Power of the Holy Ghost getting ready to come upon you. And there's a new anointing on you. Now, You all cashed out tonight, and that's great. But you know what? I don't see you in shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. I see you in executive apparel. I see you in the apparel of a businessman. I see you in the apparel of a deal maker. I don't understand what I'm talking about, but the Lord said, tell this man that I spared him and I brought him up out of the pit, that I could prosper him and I could do great things with his life. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your skills are, but the Lord said, whithersoever thou goest, you're going to prosper, because you are learning how to obey the word, and there's an anointing on you, and breakthroughs are coming to you, and God is going to cause you to look in the mirror and not see what you're not, but see who you are, because you are exactly who God says you are. And the power of the Holy Ghost, everything that you put your hands to do, I declare in the name of Jesus, is going to start prospering. Miracles are going to start happening. Gerald, come here. Help me. Randy, come here and help me. Put your hands on him. I declare double portion blessing is coming on you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Touch him. Empower him. Stir him in Jesus' name. Somebody give God one more good praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's peace coming upon you. Come here. That's going to surpass understanding. I'm trying to move quickly, but I guess I just got to do what I got to do. There's peace coming to you. All the disappointments, all the setbacks. I told the story about my father tonight. It connected to the message. But you know what it is to suffer loss. You know what it is to feel like I'm doing what God told me to do, but then I got setbacks. I'm telling you, if you will obey the word no matter what, you will see God. You will watch God restore the years. You've been hurt. You've been betrayed. You've been lied on. All of it. But the Lord wanted me to tell you, I'm going to restore the years. What you've got to do is acknowledge, God, this isn't about what they did. This isn't about what they said. What this is about is I'm your daughter, and I'm going to see enlargement. I'm going to see expansion. I'm going to see increase. And God said, anointed thinking is coming into your brain. You're going to quit thinking like you used to think. The glass is not half empty. The glass is half full. You are not going to lose. You're going to win. You are not going to undergo. You're going to overcome. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care what dysfunction impacted your life. You are who God says you are. And the power of the Holy Ghost is on you right now. Somebody give God a shout. Somebody give God a praise. No, somebody's got to give God a shout in this house. Stand her back up. There you go. Pain is leaving your body. It's leaving your body. But the problem is, you're getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know who drives the car in your family, but I'm telling you something, you're drinking the new wine of Only Believe Ministries. Glory to God. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Glory to the Lamb. 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 Ladies, step out here. You step out. Give me an usher out here. God's anointing is coming on you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You're going to feel different when you leave here. You're going to think different when you leave here. You needed to be here tonight. You needed to hear this message. God isn't finished with you or your family. It's a new season, saith the Lord of hosts. Stay in the spirit with me. Stay in the spirit with me. Stay in the anointing with me. Every prayer you've been praying, God said, I've heard it, and you're getting ready to see multi-generational miraculous blessing come into your family. Now, do you all know each other? That's Grandma and Grandpa. Come here. Because when I stepped into the aisle, God said, I have released multi-generational blessing on your family, and I don't know about all the other ones in your family, but God said, because you have stood in the gap and you made up the hedge, God said, it's on you, but it's not just going to be on you. It's going to be on others. It's going to be in your generation, your Abraham. He's got to get a hold of Isaac, and he's going to get a hold of Jacob, but he's also going to touch the Joseph generation. And believe me, there's four generations that are getting ready to be impacted because of your faithfulness. Now, when I put my hands on you, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to go through all of you, and you're not as young as you used to be, but I got a word for you. Enlargement is coming. Expansion is coming. Increase is coming. Miracles are coming. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, touch her right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give God one more good shout. Give God one more good shout. Now here, I've got a lot of you out here in the house. I want to ask you one simple question. Do you believe? Finish my sentence, but whatever, they're with me. No, July 1st marks the beginning of the second half of the year. July 1st is my birthday, but it also marks the beginning of the second half of the year. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that in the second half of 2024 that the God of enlargement, I preach the keys to you, that the God of enlargement can impact your life in a miraculous way, that you will be more blessed than you have ever been before? If you believe it, give God a shout. Well, if you really believe it, I want you to get out of your seat and meet me down here at the front of this building right now. Slow walk, fast walk. Get your toes right on the front steps. There's a lot of people coming. It's a big auditorium. You think there's anybody here? And they're like rabbits multiplying. Just press into the front. Press into the front. I'm not here just to preach a sermon. I'm not here just to sing a song, thank God. I'm not here to just prophesy over four or five people. I am here to say to you, you that are in this room right now, God is going to activate in you a faith for increase and a faith for enlargement. And it's going to be like a contagious anointing that's going to stir up people that haven't been here. Because Pentecost is the birthday of the church, but Pentecost was also the day of the church's enlargement. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. That's what happened on Pentecost when they got supernaturally connected to the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, LD, you want me to pray? This is your grandbaby. It's your youngest grandson. Third generation. What's his name? MJ. That's his full name. Okay, MJ. Hold my microphone. MJ, by the power of God, invested in me as God's servant. There you go. I declare the hand of God is on you, and I consecrate you for divine purpose. And I declare mentally, this mind will be in you which is in Christ. I declare physically, the health of God is upon your body. And I declare spiritually, you will be reached with the gospel and never have to be rescued. And I declare you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost in your childhood. And you will be used to carry the legacy of this great family. MJ, you are who God says you are. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. Now, all of you in the front, stretch your hands toward me right now. We're going to come into agreement. Now, I'm going to say something to you. Some of you are going to feel the power of the Holy Ghost come on you, And I'm not going to get my hand on you, but you're going to feel the hand of a great and a mighty God. There is a shaking that is coming into this church. There is a stirring that is coming into this church. There is going to come, Nicole and Randy, you're going to feel led by God to have some unique and special anointing services. You're going to feel, oh my God, this sounds like something my dad would do on the spur of the moment, with no notice, without any preparation. But that's going to be burden removing and yoke destroying. There's going to be some anointing services that are going to start coming. And I'm not trying to run your church, but I'm showing you what God's saying to me. God said, I'm going to put the oil in your fingers. I'm going to put the oil on your hand. And you're going to start praying with the people. And they're going to start, here's what the Lord said, they're going to start getting refilled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to start getting refilled with the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I declare over every one of you listening to me right now, that you are going to see the enlargement, the increase, and the expansion of God's anointed hand upon you. This is not about the past. This is about your future. We're coming into the beginning of the second half of 2024. And I declare in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I declare right now that these people are going to stay connected to the presence of God. And as they stay connected to the presence of God, I declare right now that enlargement is coming to their life. Now take your hand, put it on your forehead. I declare anointed thinking. I declare anointed thinking is coming into your brain. And I declare you are going to have the thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. Ideas that will release prosperity. I declare depression is broken off of you. I declare brain fog and confusion is broken off of you. I declare suicidal thoughts are broken off of you. And anointed thinking is upon you in the name of Jesus. I don't know if all of you can do this, but I want you now to bend over. Just bend over. It may be hard because you're all packed up. Just bend over. Stay down there. Stay down. Get bent and stay down there for just a minute. Stay down there for just a minute. I declare in the name of Jesus, I declare in the name of Jesus that you're getting ready to arise. I declare in the name of Jesus that you're not bent over with burdens. You're not bogged down with frustrations. I declare in the name of Jesus that you're going to arise. And as you arise, the enemy is going to be scattered. In Jesus' name, right now, arise. And when you shout with a voice of triumph, your losses no longer impact you. Your losses no longer impact. Hear me. Your losses in the name of Jesus no longer impact you. You have arisen, and the victory is yours, and the battle is the Lord. Somebody give God a praise. Put your hand over your heart. Put your hand over your heart and declare this. I declare in the name of Jesus that I will obey the word of God. And as I obey the word of God, I will prosper whether I go. Lift your hands up for a second. Now shake your hands. I declare everything you put your hands to do in the name of Jesus, because you're obedient to the word, it shall prosper. I'll give him one more good praise. Start moving your feet. Come on, start moving your feet. And I want you to shout this with me. Say, I am planted. Oh, a little harder than that. I am planted. One more time. I am planted in Only Believe Ministry. And I shall flourish all the days of my life. I am planted. I am planted. I am planted in Jesus' name. Give him one more good praise. All right now. let a man examine himself. I've shown you through the word how God reversed the curse on Israel because they repented. And then he said, I will restore the years. I want God to restore anything and everything the devil has stolen from you. Now I know in the movie Frozen, we had to sing, let it go, let it go. There's certain things, and books have been written, Christian books have been written by great authors about letting things go. There are things we have to let go of. There are things we have to let go of. You know, sometimes when people wound you and when people hurt you, you just got to release it to the Lord. But what the devil has stolen from you is not a releasable subject, because David got it all back. And God showed us when the people repented that he restored the years. Now, well, praise God, I told you to watch out. David pursued, overtook, and recovered it all. The thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy, but God said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, which means superfluously, overflowing, expanded, increased. Now hang in here with me. But the Bible said, let a man examine himself. Repentance triggered a multi-year blessing. And I declare to you, whatever the devil's stolen from you, God wants to restore it to you. What we're going to do right now, I don't know your life. I don't know all the details about your stuff. But I do know this, that when you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. And we're going to pray right now, all across this room. I don't care how anointed you think you are. We're going to pray together. Will you pray with me? Say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I humbly come to you and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, all my wrath, my rebellion, my disobedience, my lack of faith, my self-centeredness, my unforgiveness. Whatever it is, God, that you see in me that is not clean, I ask you to cleanse me and create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. As I repent of all that you see, I ask you to restore what the devil has stolen. And enlarge me, God, to do greater things in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a praise. And then it says in Malachi 3:10, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, with your tithe and your offerings, and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there is not room enough to contain. It's another key. Your giving is a key. It rebukes the devourer, it activates favor, and it creates an expansion overflow. I want to ask you just one simple question. How many of you would like to walk in more than what you're walking in right now? How many would like to see your church have more resources to work with to do the work of the kingdom? You know how God's going to do that? It's to loose more to you. You know how you're going to loose it? It's to walk in the key of giving that activates enlargement and expansion. And I'm going to receive a miracle offering tonight. Part of what God uses me to do across many places, nation and the world, is to challenge people to take a step of faith in their giving that will activate some things for their future. Now, I know I've got you doing a lot of talking, but that's okay. I want you to say, July 1st, is New Year's Day for the second half of 2024. You with me? I declare miracle blessings, enlargement, and increase are coming to me in the second half of this year. In Jesus' name, amen. I prayed, and I pray about offerings. I pray about offerings because giving is a key that activates the rebuke against the devourer, the unlocking of the floodgates, and it's a favor activator. But I challenged people last night to sow an $88 seed, whether they sowed it last night or sowing it tonight. And I'm going to challenge many of you again to do the same thing. But I prayed about something and I asked God, I said, God, and the Lord spoke this to me. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. The Lord said, you do it because there's 12 people in this group. There's 12 people in this group you'll minister to tonight that need a strategic breakthrough and they need it quickly. But if they don't sow a seed, they don't unlock the floodgate. And I said, 12 people to do what? He said, there'll be 12 people that'll sow a $500 seed. And I know, and I take my time when I go into a larger amount because I know that's different than asking you to give $50 or $20 or $88. But there's 12 of you here that I know you're standing at a pivotal fork in the road in a pivotal place, and you need direction, and you need a breakthrough, and you need an increase. And when I said this, many of you, it resonated in your spirit. And I'm going to take about 1 to 2 minutes. And if I'm speaking to you and you know God wants you to do this, I want you to step from where you are up here on the stage with me right now. If God is dealing with you, come quickly and don't leave me standing here. Praise God. I didn't mean to make you come all the way up here, but I did, didn't I? All right. Who else is coming? Quickly. Say, I got to think about this. I got to pray about it. I think some of you just need to move and obey God. Sometimes, come here, mother. Praise God. Just stay with me. They're coming. I know when I ask for a larger amount that it's not, oh yeah, let me do that. And if I ask for $20, they're maybe running down here. But I'm not gonna take long. I'm gonna take about one more minute. God's dealing with some more people. And you say, well, what if all of them don't come? That's not between me and you, that's between them and God. And we're going to believe God. And I want you to sow the seed. Some of you will give on the QR code or whatever. But there's some breakthroughs that are getting ready to happen. And we're going to believe God. I'm going to take 30 more seconds. I don't know who it is. But there's some of you that now is the time that you need to be led by the Spirit and do what God tells you to do. Praise God. Now I want everybody, if you're coming, come right now. See, sometimes you just gotta have a little patience. Now, as bold and loud as I get, you'll notice my vocal tones kind of get calmer. Because I don't want you to feel like I'm slapping you around trying to get you to give. But you knew you were supposed to do this. This is going to be a seed you're going to look back on and say, because I obeyed God, certain things triggered. And Gerald, you've always been a giver. God's going to give you a miracle. This one you're going to look at and say, wow, this is going to be a life-changing seed. If there's anybody else that's coming, come right now because I want to pray. Now the rest of you, I'm going to talk to you in just a minute, but I want everybody that's down here, stretch your hands this way. Praise God. I guess I'm moving too fast. Praise God. I think there's 9 that have come. There may be 3. I just felt it was 12, but there may be 3 more of the other. Praise God. Praise God. I'm presuming the couples that are coming are one. You're coming together. There's 1, there's 2, there's 3, there's 4, there's 5, there's 6, there's 7, there's there's 8, there's 9, there's 10. And I'm not trying to drag this out. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. It's like every time I get ready to pray, somebody else comes. So I'm going to count it down now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. If there's two more of you out there and God's dealing with you, some people just don't like to let anybody know what they're doing. I get that. Man, if they think I got enough money to give $500 away, they might come up and try to borrow money off of me. Everybody down here, stretch your hands this way. Father, I declare a trinity of blessing upon them. I declare in the name of Jesus, the devourer is rebuked. I declare in the name of Jesus. Did number 11 just get up here? How you doing? Do you know him? Okay. I declare in the name of Jesus, the devourer is rebuked. I declare in the name of Jesus that the key to unlock the floodgates has been inserted. And when they sow this seed, the floodgates are going to open. And I declare over every one of you standing here that the favor of God is overtaking you in the name of Jesus. And I want you to do something. You that are out there, stretch your hands this way. Just say this with me. I declare a miracle blessing will overtake your life in Jesus' name. And when you see God do something extra special, which you're going to see, make sure you tell the pastors, this is what happened. Because sometimes people give and they get breakthroughs and they never testify about it. But when you do let people know, it elevates their faith to believe God. When they sow, God does amazing things. How many of you that are out here have seen God honor your giving? Amen? Amen. Now, for the rest of you that are here, I want you to be led by the Spirit in your giving tonight. And many of you said last night, I'm going to sow an $88, a new beginning seed. Is there any of you out here tonight say, Pastor, I'm going to join forces, and I didn't feel to do the larger amount, but I want to be one of those that give, say, an $88 seed. Oh, let me just ask this. How many of you that are looking at me right now are saying, I'm going to be a giver tonight? I'm going to be a giver tonight. I'm going to be a giver tonight. Maybe it's an $88 seed. Maybe it's a $50 seed. Maybe it's a $20 seed. But I have labored and blessed this church for 39 years. And I believe that as you have blessed me, God has blessed you. And he will continue to do that. But I believe this. Just look at your neighbor and say, everybody should be a giver tonight. I want you to give God one more great praise. You can return to your seats all over the building. God bless you. How many are glad you've been in the house tonight? I've held you for a little while tonight, but not that bad. Praise God. I want everybody to prepare your... tonight we've already received the tithe. We've already received the tithe. So I want you to prepare your offerings for the work of ministry. And we're going to bless them tonight. So there's all sorts of, is that got it up there? You've got that QR code. You've got that QR code. Go there. It'll guide your pathway. It'll lead you into paths of righteousness, paths of blessing, and sow a seed. And I just want you to do one thing. If you're giving tonight, some of you, if you're giving on your iPhone tonight, or you're giving by check, or you're giving in whatever way you're giving, just lift the vehicle up that you're giving through. That could be your envelope, or that could be your phone. Just lift it up and let's bless it all over the house. Father, in Jesus' name, the devourer is rebuked. The favor is activated. The blessing of God is released. And I declare not one person leaves here without the knowledge of knowing they shall be blessed in Jesus' name. I want to ask you a question. How many are glad you've been here tonight? I pray the word spoke to your spirits tonight. and I pray you can carry it with you wherever you go. Pastor Randy, come on up here. I don't know who's dismissing, but you got me covered. Mr. Entrepreneurial Anointing. How many love Pastor Randy? Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right. You guys, if you got your offerings ready, come on up. Praise the Lord. You can put them in there. Listen, anointed thinking. Wow. I like that. I'm going to use that every day. Seven things. Stay connected to the presence. Anointed thinking. Arise. Obey the word. Be planted. Giving and repentance. Hallelujah. That's fantastic stuff. Activates enlargement in our lives. And I know your lives are being enlarged even right now as we speak in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to close in prayer as you're giving right now. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for Pentecost, Father, this week. I thank you, Father, that we've been rained on by the Holy Spirit all week long. God, I thank you, Father, that we've been energized and recharged, Father, this week. God, I thank you the word that has been brought forth every night and in Sunday morning, God, will not return void, Lord God, but it was planted in good soil, Father. And I thank you that we will grow and prosper in it. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, for the rest of this week, I thank you for blessing to come. God, I thank you for speaking to people in dreams, visions, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for enlargement to come even this week, God. I thank you and we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Listen, VBS raised $836 this week. So when we leave Sunday for Africa, amen. So we're going to give that to the worst orphanage in Nairobi where we go. So just be ready for that. Just be praying for us for Nairobi. And thank God the land that we are going to is already being blessed and being prayed over. So just be praying for us as we leave Sunday right after church. Amen. All right, we love you guys. Good night. Have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye.